Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc.
On my upper lip, there's
I think he's there.
I've
he's not there? All right, you guys let me know when he's there. Meantime, let's all sing.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
Now he's there. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Wasn't it crazy? Snowing on Saturday and playing golf on Sunday.
Yeah, I played nine holes yesterday. The wind was out of the south-southwest at 245 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was 70 degrees by 4 o'clock yesterday.
But Saturday was the weirdest day I've ever seen.
It just kept snowing in these 10-minute tantrums.
Yeah.
It would snow like it was December.
Right.
And for 10 minutes, it would stop and the sun would come out.
Yeah. And there wouldn't be a cloud in the sky.
It's like Mother Nature had cramps. It was the strangest thing.
It's true.
How'd you play, by the way?
I played okay. You know, it's still, it's this time of the year, it's just working on the game, so.
Yeah, you just go out and you just swing.
Yep.
I'm doing a thing, Doc, and this is important for others. This isn't just about me. But honestly, if you want personal information for yourself, get your own show. So I'm doing this thing, and you've seen me play enough because we play golf a lot.
Yep.
Where I throw that right shoulder, and, you know, when you throw the right shoulder, you're going to snap hook it or you're going to snuff it. And but I'm doing something this year I've never felt before where I feel like I've got an impingement of some kind in the shoulder. Or if I'm swinging and I'm not on plane, it's a great trainer, by the way. If I'm not on plane and I swing my normal crazy swing, my shoulder just starts, you know, really throbbing. So what do you think? Amputation? What am I going to do there?
No.
Well, I think we should get out and play for some money first, and then we'll figure out.
That's a good point. That's solid medical advice. This is a very important month. This is organ donation month.
It is. Yeah. April, people think about taxes, but we really would like them to think about organ donation. And if you haven't signed up yet, you know, it's very simple to do, and please go and do it. It takes, you know, 2 minutes, if that. And since WGN's heard in many states, you know, it's not like just let's talk about the state of Illinois, but if you go to organdonor.gov, in the lower right-hand corner, you can click on your state, and it'll take you right to the sign-up page for the state.
Organdonor.gov. All right, well, that is good to know. Now, a few years ago, the laws changed, and for folks that think, well, I've been in this system for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever, you need to go back and check to make sure you're up to date.
Correct. You know, it used to be you just signed the back of your driver's license, and now it's an electronic database, so you do. You have to go in. If you say, no, I signed back my, no. Go in and log on and do it. And it's important. You know, when we talk about organ donations, we have 125,000 people on the waiting list for an organ donation, and that's a lot. And we do about 100 transplants a day across this country. But the bigger number is over 20 people a day die waiting for an organ.
Doc, when you become an organ donor, and I think most of us are nowadays, but is there a particular organ? I actually have a friend who, this is not me, truly, but who will say, you know what, I don't want to donate my eyes or my skin or whatever the organ might be. Can you specify, I don't want to donate this or this, or is it all or nothing?
Nope, absolutely. You can specify what you want to donate. And it's interesting you bring up eyes because that's one that people really should consider donating because since 1960, 1 million people have gotten corneal transplants and gotten their vision back.
Is that right?
Million?
A million.
That's pretty crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you could simply just say, that's what I'm donating and nothing else.
Right.
Correct. Yep, you could do that, and that's all you would donate. And the cool thing about the cornea is, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I got to find somebody with the right tissue and the right blood. No, corneas are universal donors. You can take the cornea from anyone and put it into anyone else's eyes. So
it doesn't matter how blind you are? I mean, if you have really bad eyes, if you're really nearsighted bad, doesn't matter?
No, because the vision portion of your eye has more to do with the lens of your eye as well as the back of your eye where the rods and cones are that do the vision portion of it. The cornea is essentially a clear covering that protects the lens, and people can get bad corneal disease, and a new cornea will actually give them their vision back.
So, Mary, you could donate yours.
That's good to know. I thought my eyes were so bad. But even if you've had LASIK surgery and all that?
Yes, even if you had LASIK surgery, yep, the cornea isn't really the cornea is very important to vision, but it's really not important as far as the LASIK or as far as, you know, when you get cataracts, you know, those are the things that we can cure with a corneal abrasion.
I scratched my cornea a few weeks ago, went to the eye doctor. I think I talked to you about this, Doc. Went to the eye doctor. He said everything's fine. And he said that the cornea is perhaps the fastest healing part of your body. It can heal in a matter of days.
Correct.
I don't know that either. Well, the cornea. The amazing story of the cornea continues next.
Yes. We never knew.
It's a before school special.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Only Hit the Guy Ever Had. What a great song.
Ooh, yeah.
Grabbing a Jay Ferguson. Thunder Island. And it's funny as Doc's humming along right now. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. How are things with the Northwestern folks?
Doing great. You know, the family's growing and we're doing really well. It's a fun time to be working with Northwestern.
Very busy time for you, but you sound like you're sick again.
You know what? I think I have allergies. It's just been kind of frustrating recently.
Are you fragile? Are you getting a little fragile in your old age?
No, not at all. Okay.
Because you had a nasty cold before, and now you got feel like something else coming on.
I know.
You need a hug? You all right?
I do need a hug, yeah. Right. Not from you, Andrea.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Andrea's mother would be so happy. She's hugging a doctor.
It's true.
All right, we're talking about Organ Donation Month. One of the great problems with organ donation are the myths that are out there, Doc. The myths.
Yep.
The idea that if I want to have a service for the person that I've lost and love, I can't have an open casket. Talk about that.
Yeah, and that is false. First of all, donors can be any age. So let's make sure that everyone says, boy, I'm 50. I can't do that anymore. No, but any age at all. And the donation, when it happens, right now we have a group called Gift of Hope, which is here in Chicago. And those surgeons come in to do what we call harvesting, and people might take that term as bad, but that's what they do. They are very precise, very talented surgeons, because you have to remember what they're taking out of you or your loved one is going to go into someone else. So they're very careful and they're very precise. So that you can still have an open casket wake. You know, they are not disfiguring at all. They're very, very respectful of the individual. So that's very important to know, because people always think like you did. Well, if I do that, I can't have an open casket, and I want my loved ones to see me before I go.
Yeah, and the bottom line is if you're concerned that you want to honor mom or dad's wishes, but your brother or sister don't, if mom or dad sign up, that decision's taken out of their hands, and you move on.
It is. You have to remember, it's about what you wanted to do, not about what your loved ones wanted to do. The impact of what you decided. And, you know, the other things, there's no cost involved here. It's not like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to have to pay somebody. You know, all the costs are paid for by the recipient and the insurance companies. And we test all the tissues. We test everything for diseases. We test before we would use them anywhere else. So you shouldn't have any concern about, oh, am I going to give someone cancer? Well, that's not going to happen. So don't worry about that.
Organdonor.gov. Yep. Go there, pick your state. Takes you right to the page, and you're good to go. Can we talk about allergies for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
should I be taking
allergy season?
Should I be taking a Claritin or an Allegra a day, just as a prophylactic?
Yeah, you know, there's good things and bad things about a mild winter. One of them is that we expect the spring to be a really bad allergy season. We're fortunate right now that tree pollen is still considered low in the Chicago metro area, as well as almost the entire state. But we know that that's going to pop. When you listen to the experts, they say tree pollen is going to be terrible within the next couple of weeks. So really, taking those antihistamines, and straight antihistamines, not the Claritin Ds, not the Allegra Ds with the decongestant. Forget about that. You don't need the decongestant portion right now. All you want to do is get that antihistamine level up to a point, so when you are exposed to those pollens, you're not going to get this big response.
Doc, how do you know what you're allergic to? Pollen, ragweed. How do you know? How do you find out?
Well, I bring ragweed by and I rub it in your face and see if it makes you sneeze.
Stop doing that, by the way.
So you can go to an allergist. You can go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Those are the two that do the main testing. And it's kind of interesting. They'll do something called scratch tests, where they'll put a whole bunch of things on your back and let you go and try to figure out what it is that you're allergic to. That's important if it's something that you can avoid. if you say, I get seasonal allergies and it's always in the spring and it's always in the fall, well, you don't have to go to the expense of doing that, because unless you're going to get shots to try to block those allergies, you know the timing. And you know we have great medications now that are non-sedating. The days of taking Benadryl and sleeping at your desk are over because of the Claritin, the Allegra, the Zyrtec. So unless you really want to know, it's more important that you know the timing of it, and so that you can start taking your medication before they hit.
All right, so what's your advice? Take it?
My advice is to take Claritin, Allegra, Zyrtec, whichever one has worked for you in the past, starting probably sometime this week. Everyone's going, gosh, this is late. It's really not. We kind of set that bar with Easter, and Easter was early this year. Spring breaks were early, but right now is when we're going to expect, you know, spring flowers bring May flowers. Well, unfortunately, they bring pollen too, and that's going to be the timing probably in the next couple of weeks where it's really just going to pop.
So if you've had allergy problems in the past and you anticipate them, it's a good thing to do. What if you haven't had them in the past? Do you just roll with it?
Yeah, if you haven't had them in the past, you can get allergies at any time. So if you start to feel like I'm feeling right now, believe me, I am starting Claritin this week to see if this is going to help. And the other thing is, people say, oh, the spring is here. Everyone wanted to open up their houses yesterday. You can still do that now while pollen counts are low if we get a good warm day. But once those pollen counts hit, keep your doors closed if you're allergic to things, because why bring the pollen in? So you're better off running the air conditioner during the tree pollen season and then opening the house later after, you know, the grass season probably will start. But keep that controlled environment in your house clean. When you're outside in the yard, come in, take those clothes off, put them someplace where you're going to wash them quickly so that you're not getting pollen all over the house again.
Doc, real quick, how can you tell the difference between an allergy? You know, sometimes you wake up with a headache or whatnot or a stuffy nose. How do you tell the difference between a cold and an allergy or a headache and an allergy?
Yeah, the cold and an allergy is very difficult for us because people come in thinking they have a cold and they say, I want an antibiotic. So first we try to convince them that they have a virus or tell them that they have a virus. And then also...
And once again, please, people, understand this. Doc's very nice about this, but you have to understand this. An antibiotic does never, ever, 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 ever cure your cold. It doesn't work that way.
Correct. So we try to at least try to figure out what we're going to do, which is treat the symptoms. So if your symptoms are, you know, runny nose and that, we're going to try the antihistamines to see if that improves. If it doesn't, you know, we start to get concerned when you have fever of 102 and, you know, we're going to check you for strep throat and things along those lines that could be bacterial. But you really have to treat the symptoms, and that's probably the biggest thing. One other big thing, people take antihistamines and they say, my eyes still itch, my eyes still water. There's a great medication out called Tatinol. It's actually an antihistamine for your eyes. So if you have the eye problem, get in to see your doctor and discuss the drug Tatinol.
You know what we got to do, Doc? And we could start with that notion, antibiotics for a cold, and you could also throw in the flu shot gives me the flu. We'll start making a list just as time goes on of all the myths that you hear all the time that we could clear up for people, we being you.
Yep.
That Trump's a good candidate. You know, all those medical myths, all those things.
Hey, I'm going to speak this morning to a group of women in Wheaton who provide scholarships for college students who are loyal listeners of yours, and they asked me to come and talk about medicine.
That's nice.
So, yeah. So
very nice. What's the name of the group?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and now I'm going to be embarrassed I'm in front of them because that I don't have it.
All right, but you'll tell me tomorrow or something?
Absolutely.
Or text me and I'll mention it?
Yes.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
You got it. Talk to you later.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day.